Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today I am joined with the amazing Francine Mackley. And today we are talking about how to create a wildly popular online summit, specifically through sharing her own experience in creating a wildly popular online summit for designers, which you may have heard of, called the Scale with Ease Summit. Now, Francine is the founder of Scale with Ease and the Breezy Camper Design Studio. She is a brand designer and educator based in beautiful Nashville, and she specializes in crafting customer-centric brand identities. She's a big advocate of marketing, so she actually develops her strategies by focusing on the target audience to design a brand with both aesthetic and function, which y'all know I love. Now, when she's not designing for her clients, you can often find her teaching fellow designers the importance of building sustainable businesses from the beginning. And actually, fun fact, the name Breezy Camper comes from a love of open spaces, the outdoors, and road trips with the family. So, Francine, thank you so much for joining me on the Brand Strategy Podcast. I am so excited to have you here today.
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I am just like already so excited to get to dive into this conversation and hear more about the Scale with Ease Summit. I've been so amazed to watch you grow this, especially this year through Instagram. So I feel very privileged to get to chat with you about this. But before we dive into that, I would love for you to share a little bit more about yourself and your incredible business if you're up for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you covered a lot of it too. I started in marketing, and it was that time when I was like 18 years old where you think at that age you kind of have to have your life figured out and, you know, your career choices and everything. So I decided I was going to go to college and I was going to figure out something that made decent money. So I landed on, you know, business and marketing, and, you know, it was really interesting and I loved everything that I did. And when I graduated, I worked at a few corporate offices and I realized it kind of wasn't my jam. I didn't realize at the time that I was super introverted. I feel like back then, you know, like personality tests weren't as big as they are now. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of myself that I was still trying to learn, and my energy levels and all of that. So I quit a few jobs and I tried out other ones, and I ended up landing on a few startup jobs. And I think that's when I really found my calling. Just anything that was like smaller on really like the founder's level, I really, really loved, because I'm working with the people who are starting it. And, you know, that's when you have to wear many hats. And with that, as part of like the marketing role, I had to kind of teach myself some design too. And it was really like awful back then, but like it really helped kind of guide me too, because from that I was learning my own mistakes, what looked right, what didn't, kind of having to be a critic of myself, because this is something we had to put out to an audience. Mm-hmm. So I think from there, that's when I realized, wow, like I think design is actually my thing. I think I've wasted, or at the time I thought, you know, I wasted all this time doing marketing. I really should be designing. And that's when I decided to go off on my own around the time that I actually had my first baby, just to, like I wanted to see if I can find that balance between being at home with my first baby and also starting some sort of career. So I know it's like kind of crazy to say out loud that like I started my business right when I pretty much lost 80% of my free time. But that's, yeah, so that's kind of the gist of it. And here I am now. I have my design studio and I have Scale with Ease as well.
That's amazing. And I think that just speaks so highly to your determination and kind of the amount of grit that went into growing your business when you had only so many hours in the day to devote to that, but yet you stuck with it and you made it happen. And here you are today with not one, but two incredible businesses, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely hard, and I would never tell anyone that it was easy or right. that I didn't struggle or anything like that, or that I was terrible with actually balancing my time. You know, all of that, like for me, I had to learn on my own because, you know, I'd hear podcasts, I'd read books, and they tell you how to do things. But until you actually reach, or at least for me, at least when I reached burnout, that's when I was like, okay, maybe these people are right and I need to find some sort of balance. So It did absolutely take a few years for me to figure out how to balance a career without having to give up one or the other. Because I felt like at the time I had to choose like my kids and my family or, you know, starting a business. So there were definitely a lot of like ups and downs in between.
Oh, for sure. I don't think that anyone that I know has had an easy journey of starting or growing their business. Like no matter what their personal life looks like, it's always, there's always that struggle between what your, the kind of life and the kind of quality of life that you want to live in your personal life versus the kind of growth you want to see in your business, right? So I think that, you know, everyone who's tuning in today, no matter where they are in life or business, they can totally resonate with that idea of going through the trial and the error and, you know, flirting with burnout a time or two and walking through that. But I think that in my own experience, when I walk through challenges like that, it helps me to feel more confident in my own ability. And I think it also helps me to feel capable of sharing and encouraging and teaching others maybe what not to do so that they don't walk through the same mistakes that I did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it really depends too how you take in information and everything. I think even like 5 years ago, the messages that were being sent to people, like in terms of marketing, are so different than they are now. A lot of it, I don't know if I want to say necessarily sugar-coated, but it did feel like everything was just like great. And then we started reaching this movement where it became way more authentic. And then you started to hear everyone's struggles and started to feel like a normal person. Mm-hmm. And yes, I felt like back then I was just like hearing a lot of messages where it's like, oh, like first I was doing this, then suddenly I have a six-figure business, you know, like it kind of went from like zero to nothing. And I think, you know, people just learned over time that's not really what resonates with people. Like they do want to hear the entire journey and how, you know, you can feel more humanized, I guess, like by just learning like what people are doing. It's all different. So at the time I was like, oh, well, like this person is doing such a great job and it didn't look like they were struggling. And I was having a hard time with that balance, but that's totally off topic. But I think it's just important to note, you know, because I did start like right after having my baby that, you know, there are always ups and downs with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm over here like emphatically nodding my head along listening to you share that because I just completely agree that it's so much easier for us to see our own stories or our own struggles kind of reflected back to us when we hear what other people are going through. And it's not realistic to kind of sugarcoat it like you were talking about. And you know, I sort of think of it as like the Instagram perfect like kind of depiction of what life or business looks like. But what you don't see is maybe like just on the other, you know, edge of the frame there that, you know, there's like the pile of laundry and the dishes haven't been done in a week and, you know, life is crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think that I'm so grateful that now we are learning to embrace like a really multifaceted journey and all of the like bumps and like, you know, struggles and things that we've encountered along the way versus putting out this like unrealistic and almost like unattainable definition of success, if that's making any sense at all.
No, it does. And you're right. And I think, you know, that's kind of like a perfect transition into how I was feeling when I wanted to start the summit. Yeah. And, you know, when you've been in business, at least for a few years, you start to surround yourself with other business owners, people you look up to. Suddenly you're listening to podcasts and reading all these articles, and you're following all these, you know, different entrepreneurs on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your world is filled with it. And then I realized at the time, I was like, oh, I think I forgot what it was like in the beginning before mm-hmm. I discovered like Amy Porterfield or, you know, any of those people. Yeah. And I was kind of in my own box where I just thought that the information that I knew, other designers already knew. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I made the mistake. I was like, oh, wait, like I'm actually talking to a lot of designers that don't know about how to make their designs more conversion friendly, or mm-hmm. even talking about productivity and how to make your business legal and, you know, your rights as a freelancer and all mm-hmm. of these things that I thought they just knew mm-hmm. because I knew it. Like I had to almost step back and I realized, wow, there are a lot of people who absolutely need this information, because I felt like a lot of the same instances that came up were them losing confidence because they maybe didn't have a step before that, like the right contract mm-hmm. or knowing the red flags before you take on a client who is, you know, treating you a certain way mm-hmm. and all of that. So yeah, that's kind of how it started, where I realized I had to take off those blinders that, like, you know, because I was in the zone. I was like all about the entrepreneur life. And, you know, I forgot that when, let's say you decide one day, you know what, I want to be a designer. Usually the beginning of that is like you start freelancing. And then so you have the freelancer mindset. And then you're just looking for clients, you're trying to make money. And you forget all of the steps along the way that might make it easier for you to do that. So So I just, like, it's funny. It's like having to go back to my roots, where really, it really wasn't that long ago either. It just feels like a lifetime in like digital years.
Right. Right. Well, I think that that is so amazing that you focused on those kind of foundational pieces, and those foundational pieces, I almost feel like they kind of get a bad rap, where like it's easy to think that, you know, maybe there's a certain like level of information in any industry, but especially in the design industry, where like, okay, this is like the foundation you should be starting with, or sort of like the, you know, like design freelance 101 kind of topics. But mm-hmm. realistically, I think that there's so much value in those basics, quote unquote, and going back and identifying how to set up good contracts, how to create solid boundaries with your clients, how to identify those red flag, you know, potential clients before you sign that contract. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those kinds of things are so important. And I don't care if you've been in business for, you know, 5 weeks or like 15 years. I think we all have so much to learn and so much to gain when we commit to focusing on those pieces. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've seen of the scale with eSummit, you cover a really amazing variety of content for designers, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we try to keep it in certain categories because we wanted to go based on the feedback. But yeah, we try to cover like basically from start to finish what you do like in a week of being a designer. Yeah.
I love that. Now I can imagine that like building the summit in a way where you are paying attention to what your audience wants and what your audience needs, I can imagine that there are probably some challenges or some learning curves that you experienced when you were getting it up off the ground for the first round. Are there some challenges or some thoughts that come to mind of what it was like initially getting the summit up and running?
Yeah, I think a lot of it really was the mindset block, and it really did stop me from doing a lot of things. In my head, I'm not really a perfectionist, but I feel like I have to reach certain milestones before I do something. And mm-hmm. At least for me in my life, it's been a little bit destructive in, you know, my own head, because then I think that I'm not good enough to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, like, I wanted to help designers, but I thought I had to reach certain milestones. I also wanted to start a summit, but I was like, well, I'm not really up to like the 100K followers status yet. So I thought I had to have all these vanity metrics before just doing it. And I just decided one day, I'm like, you know, I don't really know what's stopping me, because no one cares if I have, you know, 1,000 followers or 100,000 followers. If the content is good, they're going to come. And also with that sort of connection, because also in the entrepreneur world, it's very natural to, like, as you progress as a business, as you progress in the things that you teach, that you kind of do it either on a higher level or like a more general level. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed that trend, like, people who used to teach just designers now teach to a whole range of entrepreneurs, or, mm-hmm. you know, or now they're doing like really high level masterminds. And sometimes people are still like, well, I can't even think about, you know, getting to a 5-figure months if I can't do this, this, and this. And right. those are kind of the things that we cover, just to let them know, like, hey, we got your back. Like, we'll talk about all these things, and it's really not as overwhelming as you think. But, you know, yeah, and here's information as clear as possible. But so at the time, I was just like, I think I need to do it, because I just had too many confidence issues in my way. And it was really like, no, I didn't have a good reason not to. I realized at the end of the day, I was like, I think I can do this. And at the time of the first summit, I did that with my friend Austin, and he's a motion designer. So I thought it gave like kind of a good range of, you know, different types of people struggling with certain things. Like, we noticed patterns, like a lot of people didn't have email lists, or didn't know how to, like, what to do with email lists, or they didn't know the best way to design a website for themselves. So it was really trying to make sure that their bases were covered, because they are so focused on clients. It's almost like forgetting to take care of yourself because you're so busy, because, you know, you have to make money, and we get it. So we're trying to seek that kind of balance. But yeah, so at the time, I just I realized I didn't want to stop myself from doing that. And part of it too, I realized I needed that for myself and for others in terms of like representation as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just noticing like other people of color weren't doing a lot of, you know, summits in the design industry. And it was one of those things that if you see people like you, whether it's by looks or identity or like a mom, or, you know what I mean, just something that you, that really resonates with you, if you see someone doing it, you can do it yourself. So yeah, there are a lot of different layers and a lot of different reasons why I wanted to start it. And, you know, part of that, I realized, like, while I was looking for speakers as well and looking for a diverse set of speakers, a lot of people who are designers, who are people of color, weren't really in that, I guess, like speaking level yet, or they didn't find themselves to be that. So it was kind of interesting to see, you know, like what was out there. And for me and Austin, like at the time, you know, we wanted to just really encourage people to speak. Like, what's stopping you from being an expert in your field, and just like really getting more people motivated? So that was also like another part of it, is you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to achieve all of these things. You can just create your own platform. And if it's helpful and it provides value, then people are going to come.
I can completely, completely agree with all of that. And I just really resonate with the way that, you know, you kind of talked through the different layers of coming to that decision to launch Scale With Ease and to, you know, open up this summit to the world. And I think that, first of all, it took so much self-awareness to identify the way that you were holding yourself back unintentionally, and then taking it from there and kind of allowing that self-awareness. From what I hear, it sounds like it almost like kind of permeated outwards into seeing then all of the amazing benefit and the way that your work and your decision to take that brave action can create this ripple effect and bring just so much goodness into the industry as a whole. So I am like really inspired by hearing your thought process there and your journey to come to that decision. And I love that you took the leap and made it happen, because it has seemed like it has been a summit that really has been well received. And I've heard nothing but good things. I know some people who've had the honor of being a part of it. And it's just something that, you know, each time I can tell that you pour so much intention into packing so much value into that experience for your attendees. So in your own kind of perspective, how do you think that the summit has grown since that very first one?
Yeah, I feel like it's really evolved. I think the first time around, I was like, okay, let's just try it and see what happens. And then this time around, for this year, I actually did it on my own. Austin decided, you know, for him, he wanted to focus more on motion designers. And yeah. I still had the passion to work with all types of graphic designers. So I said, okay, I'm going to continue it. And now that it's just me, I felt like almost not pressure, but like almost like more of a passion, because now it's like one person, it's a woman and a minority leading this summit. And I felt like I really wanted to amplify that. So this year I made it all women, and I did try to bring in more representation. And, you know, every year I'm sure I could do better and better on something like that. But it was really kind of a message for others for two reasons. One is you can be of any background and absolutely be a success as a designer. And number two, just because it's all women doesn't mean as a man you can't attend and learn from women too. Right. Like, because I wanted to make sure the messaging on there wasn't like, okay, here is a summit for women designers. I didn't say any of that. It just happened to have all women because I wanted to, you know, prove that we can do a lot and, you know, you can absolutely learn from us. And because I think, you know, as much progress as we've seen through the years, I feel like if there is like an all women lineup in really anything, it seems like only women show up. And I kind of want to change that a little bit, you know, it's like to have just like people listening to people rather than a certain identity. Just like if that person brings value, then you don't have to worry about like anything else, like just like what's helpful and, you know, the teaching style, the topic, any of that. So, yes, I think that's how it's really evolved since last time. And for me, it's always going to change because I am like a very flexible person and I want to go to what they want, because the summit is really for other designers. So I never really made it about me. It's funny, even like with the branding, because I would send the speakers, you know, promotional graphics. But then this year, I actually sent them an InDesign file. And I wrote a little note. I'm like, dear designers, I know how important your brand is for social media and your website. So if you feel like the branding doesn't fit with yours, then absolutely go ahead and change it. Here's all the copy. Because to me, it didn't matter what the branding, like the branding wasn't important to me. And, you know, saying that as a brand designer, it's kind of funny, but like, it was more like, I just wanted to make sure you were sharing it to as many people as possible. Because I know a lot of people will need this. There's going to be at least one video on that summit that's going to help them out in their business that year.
I love that so much. Oh my gosh. So much love for that. What is one of your favorite things about leading the summit? I mean, I'm hearing you share all these incredible things about putting it together and creating such a diverse and inclusive lineup of speakers and keeping your people, your ideal students at the forefront of your mind. But I want to hear from you what something you really love about leading the summit is.
I think just being able to get to know more designers, whether they're ahead of me or they're just starting, whatever it is, it's been so awesome. I actually have this one thing that I put on my Instagram. It says, my competitors are my friends. And I realized, you know, the moment that I started becoming friends with people I look up to, people who I thought were my competitors, and then people just getting started and just totally killing it, you know, and just doing it so well, getting to know them on that human level takes away any sort of jealousy, any greed that I felt like I had, like anything like that, because, you know, when you get to know a person, it's like you're cheering them on. So it really was a stepping stone for me to have more of like the abundance mindset, I guess, where like everybody is my friend. If I'm not feeling like people are taking clients away from me, and I haven't felt that really in a long time. Yeah. So that was just really nice, is I don't really feel like I have direct competitors or anything like that. I just feel like I have more of this community or this support group of all these amazing designers. And I'm just so blown away with, you know, their talent and their skills. So that's really been eye-opening for me. Because, you know, as an introvert, sometimes it's hard to just reach out to people, be like, hey, do you want to speak in my summit? I've never talked to you before, but, you know, and just like that part was really hard on me at first. But then when I realized that I was just literally making friends, then it really changed. I think also my attitude about work. I was just so excited about so many things, and I'm just rooting everyone on. And yeah, it's great too. It takes away so much stress doing that too. Like, you know, it's like, it'd be a fun exercise. Like if there is a person or, you know, business or a company that you feel a little bit threatened by, just go and be their friend instead and like reach out to them, have like a coffee chat. And it might take away that stress that you felt before.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely adore that mindset shift, because that's such a game changer of going from feeling like we have a reason to be intimidated or threatened by someone else to realizing that that's just fertile ground for a beautiful relationship to blossom. And yes. I just really love how you took something that felt, you know, a little intimidating or a little scary or a little uncomfortable and flipped it on its head. And now it's become something that energizes you and gets you excited about the work that you do and the relationships you're building. Because I think so many designers who might be tuning in today can resonate with the idea and the thought of identifying as an introvert. And so hearing how we can take some mindsets and some beliefs that might, you know, kind of hold us back a little bit and really, really flip the script can help us experience, like you said, more of that abundance mindset. So I love that you shared that.
Yeah, it's like almost like taking yourself out of this island, because I noticed too, it's like when I put myself in a little bubble, that's when I am like overthinking something. You know, I'm just like way too in my head. And that's when like negative emotions come in. But when you start to get to know someone, then those kind of go away, because you realize like, oh, wow, this person did a lot. They're either just like super talented, they're a hard worker, they absolutely deserved every piece of success that went to them because of all the stuff that you found out they did, rather than, you know, kind of just like fuming that you didn't get a client that month, but this person has like 10 lined up. And, you know, it's like one of those things, like you can absolutely feel what you feel and you need to just embrace the emotions that you have, but kind of keep it to you and kind of ground yourself and not let that be something that harbors, you know, resentment towards other people. I think, yeah, I used to struggle with stuff like that because, you know, in the beginning, you're not getting clients left and right. And I was like, well, how is everybody doing this? Like, this really sucks for me. And just like feeling really down, but reaching out to people. And, you know, and the thing is, what's the worst that can happen if you reach out to someone? The worst that can happen is they may not talk to you. If that's the worst thing, then, you know, that means it's really not that bad. And a lot of people will reach out back to you or like, you know, respond to what you say, because as busy as you think people are, they're still not too busy for kind words or like another friend.
Right. And I think that like when, in my experience, when you come to those conversations and, you know, approach building new friendships, essentially from a place of like just goodness and kindness and respect, like people, I feel like people are always looking for more of those qualities in their lives. And so I find that people are totally receptive, and we're just telling ourselves these stories about how people, you know, are too busy or they don't want to talk to me or whatever. But really, if we just like take the leap and send the DM or send the email or whatever it is, you're going to be pleasantly surprised, I think.
Oh, most of the time, like I would say 90% of the time.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So this kind of actually segues really beautifully into my final question for you. And I love wrapping up absolutely every conversation I have on the Brand Strategy Podcast with this idea of encouragement. So if someone is tuning in today and they also have a vision for creating an online summit, for creating an opportunity to add value into their industry and reach people and show people what's possible, what kind of encouragement would you want to share to that person who's ready to take that dream and make it happen?
I would say not that you shouldn't wait, but make a plan now. And I think what's holding a lot of people back is they think, oh, well, someday I'll make a summit, or someday I'll do this thing, or one day I'll be a conference speaker, whatever it is. It's like the moment that I sat down and made a plan, that's when it actually happened. And, you know, I didn't have tens of thousands of followers. I didn't have tens of thousands on my email list either. It just started with an idea and a plan and a way to get there. And there are so many resources for literally everything. And you can find a way to learn. So yeah, I would say make a plan. It takes about, I'd say, 3 to 4 months to plan it. So, you know, if you want to do something like a summit, then start, like, do it next year. Like, plan to host one by the springtime. There's really no reason to wait. It's just that you have to set aside time to actually do all the logistics and everything. But don't wait on followers. Don't wait on experience. Just know your why, which I know sounds really cliche, but it really does help when you're doing anything to know, like, do you want to do this? Do you like doing it? Are you passionate about it? And why are you doing it? And if you can answer those really well, and you're still excited and you don't feel like it's an obligation, then just go for it.
That is amazing encouragement and such fantastic advice. Just making that decision to go for it. Don't wait, make that plan and move forward with intention. Francine, I know that people are really going to want to know how they can follow along with you. So where can people find you online?
I love Instagram. So if you want to find me there, my handle is Breezy Camper, no spaces. Or if you want to learn more just about your design business, or if you're a creative entrepreneur, you can go to my website, breezycamper.com.
Amazing. And I also want to point people towards scalewithease.com in case you want to learn more about Scale with Ease and any future happenings with that incredible, incredible online experience. And as always, if you're tuning in and you want to find, you know, kind of your one-stop shop for all of these incredible links, if you just go to brandstrategypodcast.com and click on the latest episode, I will have all of this goodness in the show notes so that you can quickly follow along with Francine. You can learn more about the work that she does and learn more about the Scale with Ease Summit. So be sure to head there if you want to learn more and take action. Francine, thank you so, so much for sharing your time with us, your experience with us. It's been so encouraging and amazing to hear more of your story. And I so appreciate you sharing your experience on how you created Scale with Ease and how it's experienced such intentional growth in recent months, really. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise from me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.